Good evening. It's Trustee Dwyer told me it's a little after seven, so we gotta get going. So, and we want to be punctual. He's absolutely right. So, okay, I gotta use my. All right, order in the court. Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting on Monday, April 3rd at a little after 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Corsini?
Here.
Trustee Cargi?
Here.
Trustee Stanky?
Here.
Trustee Gibbs?
Here.
Trustee Dwyer?
Here.
Trustee Conte?
Here.
President Aducci?
Here. No public comment, doesn't look like. So we will move right into our third item, which is the discussion of the fiscal 2008 village operating budget. So I will give it off to our wonderful village administrator, Eric Paul.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. We are here to review the fiscal year 2018 operating budget as presented. As you know, we met back in January to discuss the capital budget, and that's really for our organization where we do a lot of our heavy lifting in terms of making recommendations for the upcoming fiscal year. And you'll find just about all of those requests and recommendations have been folded into the operating budget. Outside of that, your operating budget really is made up of primarily salaries and benefits. And then when you drill down even further, as we like to say, most of your village staff is unionized, whether that's police, fire, fire lieutenants, public works. And so really all those salaries and benefits are already calculated, rolled into the budget, and have been negotiated. So once we take out, we decide the capital, we talk about salaries and benefits, we're really talking about a small margin of dollars left over. Certainly not to marginalize that, but also to provide some context as well. So today we'll walk through the presentation, answer any questions you might have, and then just in terms of next steps, you're looking at Monday, April 24th. That's the next regularly scheduled village board meeting. We'll have a public hearing that night, and then the budget will be on the agenda for approval. Just a couple quick highlights. The budget since, 2013, 14 maybe? Well, anyhow, we've been receiving the GFOA award for the budget for the last three or four fiscal years, including this past year, and we'll be making application again moving forward. Again, we've talked about the capital plan being included, as well as our performance activity measures, as well as rolling in goals and objectives that not only that you discussed back in November, but also the board, or departments also have discussed. Looking at it from about 20,000 feet in terms of the general fund for fiscal year 17 versus 18, you can see slight increases in revenue and expenditures. And really at the bottom line is you for this year, as we had last year, you have a budget that's balanced. What we have done in terms of a strategy, though, is use break out expenditures that are non-reoccurring. So if you look at those line items, you can see we had about $150,000 this fiscal year, $125,000 next fiscal year. Basically, what we're doing is there's a couple things in terms of the TIF district, the comp plan, and the website enhancements. They're going to be one-time expenditures. So if you back those out of the budget, your budget's balanced in the black for about $3,000. Moving forward, again, this is more of a high-level look at the general fund revenues. The total increase is about just under $400,000. That's about 2.5% increase from last year, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into that into the next slide. Property sales and income tax revenue make up about 65% of the general fund revenue. So that's the lion's share of where everything goes. Property taxes did increase slightly from last year for about $37,000. That represents about a 0.7 tenths of 1% increase. So again, not a ton of money. We also have, we're looking forward to next year, a higher increase when you guys look at the levy. Coming up here in December of 2017, we're at 2.1%. A couple other items, sales tax revenue. You know, when the fiscal year started, we actually saw a little bit of a decrease in revenue. That recovered quickly, so we're in better shape as we close out the fiscal year. And then we'll also be adding revenue for Rally House, which has been doing fairly well. No shortage of the Cubs, I think, opening right when they opened. The Cubs won the World Series, so that certainly helped. And then also Fresh Time. We have included revenue in the budget for sales tax for Fresh Time. We have seen some decreases to personal property replacement tax, income tax. Those are all estimates that the Illinois Municipal League provides for us, and we rely heavily on those estimates and have for many years, as do many other municipalities. And then building permit revenue continues to be fairly high. It's about 18%, 19% versus last year. And it has come down from what we'll see for this year. Don't forget, in this year, fiscal year, we had all that work out at Fresh Time. So that was a spike. We had some other projects going on. You know, my office is right by the building department, as is Lisa's, and it's phone's ringing off the hook. So that's a good sign. People continue to make investments, both on the commercial and the residential side. The only fee increases for next year really go back to the garbage for the solid waste collection and the composting fees and then the waste tags. Everything else in the budget, with the exception of water and sewer, is flat for next year. Looking at the expenditure side, you can see, again, we're at about a 2.5% increase on the expenditures, and most of those increases tie back to our personnel services, our benefits, which include health benefits, things of that nature, and some of our contractual services. We actually see a decrease in our commodities and our transfers. So as we start to dig into that a little bit deeper in each section, personnel services, again, this is where we put all our personnel services, so the salaries for all the employees here at Village Hall. Consistent with the union contracts, we have a 2.5% cost of living increase for non-union employees, and that's also going to be consistent with our patrol officers and our sergeants. As you know, we haven't completed with the firefighters, nor have we, although we are close to wrapping up with the Public Works Union. There are other personnel changes listed. Some of those we've talked about previously, with the management analyst position converted from the intern position, some additional hours for the administrative clerk, and then also looking at keeping the deputy fire chief position vacant later on this year when some natural attrition takes place. Along with that, we would have some administrative help in the fire department to assist the fire chief. Moving along on the benefits side, again, a lot of where we see increases on the benefits side relates back to our pensions, our fire and police pensions. We spent a lot of time talking about those actuarial studies and those actuarial reports, getting back up and ramping up to a new funding level. If you look at our pensions over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, we've almost doubled the amount of money that we've contributed. So we've done everything within our power to try to get to the point where we're funding our pensions where we need to be, and we should take time and pause and with that, because that's no insignificant task. So the good news is we're starting to level off a little bit. And so if you recall from those pension discussions, it was going to be a very steep ramp, which we're at the top of the roller coaster, so to speak. And now we're going to stay flat for hopefully a while here. The other benefit of being in a municipal pool for health insurance, we continue to see very reasonable increases to our health insurance. So we're a part of the IPBC, which as of maybe about a couple weeks ago, we're up to about 110 members, and leveraging all the buying power with those municipalities to continue to not necessarily lower health insurance rates, but beat the averages. And so with a 2% on the HMO and a 4% on PPO, we're very pleased about that. And the dental increase at 4% is the first dental increase I think we've had in about 3 or 4 years. Contractual services in the general fund, this ties back to your IT support, which we continue to make a significant amount of investment in, as well as our refuse collection. That is all considered a contractual relationship. Our 911 dispatch contribution, that has increased this year. That really ties back for a couple reasons. Number one, the center actually spent more money this year, even though we're bringing Forest Park on in a couple months. The center bought new furniture, upgraded its radio consoles, has spent a significant amount of money making increases to that and to their infrastructure. That, along with some of the ways the new CAD system is accounting for calls, has reshuffled how those calls are set up and how each town pays for that. On some level, we've probably been paying less than we should have the last couple years, so we're starting to see an increase to that, but that is only one side of the story. The other side of the story is a lot of equipment and things that the center has purchased. And then our liability insurance and deductible is going to be around $385,000. Commodities, we again continue to see benefits of gas prices being low. We do smooth those averages out over several years. Trees, that really is that is decreasing for two reasons. One, again, we replaced a lot of those emerald ash trees that have been diseased. So we still have a small group of those out there, but most of those have been taken down and removed. And then we also saw, if you recall, through the Concordia planned unit development process, they had to make a contribution to our tree. Well, we don't really have a tree fund, but we've now kind of started one with that money. That's in the vicinity of about $40,000. So some of the money, we were able to offset some of our costs this year by using those funds to replace trees within the community. And I don't think you have to be Tom Skilling to figure out that we haven't had a lot of snow this year, so we're going to be able to roll over some of our salt next year. Although it's supposed to snow Wednesday, so.
Really?
I've told the Public Works Department to use the salt all over the place, right? Let's use some of it. Every year in the budget, we like to give you a three-year outlook into what the projections look like moving forward. And as you know, we are very conservative in the administration and finance departments here and how we look at our budgets. So we always kind of project the worst-case scenario, but as you know from working with me for the last 7 years, we have a tendency to beat those projections and work diligently to get under budget. So for this year, we're going to come in around $300,000 under budget, which is good. We are projecting, again, that slight deficit for next year, but if you back out those one-time costs, we have balanced the budget this year. So again, I think that's a good example of using our reserve funds in a strategic way. Moving forward, you can see some small deficits in 19 and 20. But again, we will work hard to eliminate those. And then the other thing I would offer up is if you look at those bottom lines, you can see that the general fund balance, or I should say the unassigned fund balance, remains high. So we continue to hover around that 40% mark. So using those additional dollars in this fiscal year to strategically balance our budget, to me, is a good use of our resources. We still have adequate reserves, and we're still using some of those funds to take on some of our projects. All right, any questions on any of that stuff?
Eric, yeah. What's the $4 million bump up in capital outlays for this year? I didn't understand this, what I was going through before.
Okay.
$2 million in 2016, and then $6 million this year?
Page 69. Oh, 69 of the budget? All right, hang on. And Joan and Lisa or anyone else, did you see that? You beat me to it, that's fine.
Saying it's going up?
From the 2016 actual to the 2017 budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the projected is
it's
still
the cap
outlay. Yeah, so that's going to tie back to, again, this looks at all funds in all categories, so this is everything. This is your SURF, this is your SIF, this is your Economic Development Fund, where we have our money for Lake and Lathrop. I can go back and give you.
I tried to figure out over the weekend.
Okay. Well, we can do that.
Yeah. Some of those items are capitalized too, right. So your 16 actual number is going to be lower because.
It's $2 million lower, but I'm just still trying to figure out.
You're looking at the difference between 2016 actual and the 2017 budget. Is that what you're looking at?
Right. Or even the 2017 projected is still almost $3 million more.
Doesn't that include your
section? 1 month. 16 is going to be light because it, the capital projects in the water and sewer fund
right,
are capitalized, so those are all pulled out.
Okay.
So when you look at your actual numbers, they're always going to be lower than the budget amount once we pulled all of our audit adjustments and everything, because all those fixed assets are capitalized.
But I looked through the capital plan. I don't see anything in the capital plan that's $6 million. That's the part I can't figure out.
Where are you looking?
Because that's 2017, right. So that's from last year's budget. It's not in this capital plan, because this capital plan
starts with 2018.
That's the sewer project.
Okay. Okay. So it's actually going down in 2018 to 3.9.
Okay. But we can get you what's in that number.
Yeah, we can still get you what's in 17's budget. We just have to go back to this year's budget and pull that out.
I've got a question, Eric.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the dispatch?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to the board, maybe myself as well, how the state funds or proposed to fund some of the 911's consolidation efforts? As I understand it, there are money set aside in the state budget that we don't have one, or maybe it's not funded, and how that relates to us vis-a-vis our budget.
So in terms of the impact for the budget, there's no immediate impact as we sit here today. What the state has done is, as you know, especially with Forest Park coming on board, is the state has said, look, you have to consolidate your centers if you're 25,000 in population or less, as well as your ETSB. So that's the process we just went through at the last meeting. As part of that consolidation, the state took money out of some of those funds that are used for wire and wireless 911 fees, and siphoned those off and put those in a separate fund. And the idea was to use those for need-based requests or communities, right, that were consolidating but didn't have the resources to do so. So that was where those monies had went. So we made an application in the first round, and that application was denied. We've made an application here in the second round. I'm told that the requests, and this is a first for a grant, I would say, the requests for money are less than the money that's been allocated. So theoretically, everyone that's made a request would get that money. So that could have an effect on our budget, not as presented, but later on as we get those dollars into the center, and then there's a recalculation of whatever that is.
So
but
what do you roughly net about what?
I'd have to go back and take a look, because I wouldn't want to shoot from the hip on that. Yes, Greg.
How much the grant was asked for?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was about $400,000 is what the director said. It's approved.
Well, that's good to know. And then I guess, okay, great. And then the last question, do we have a policy on expenses such as a percentage of contribution? So we're contributing X, Forest Park's contributing Y, Park's contributing Z. Is there a percentage of that we get, that if we're going to expend something, like you said, buy furniture?
Right.
Do we allocate that? Based
yeah,
on
it's all based on call volume. So that's
call
part of the challenge.
Call volume,
right. So what happened was the older system did not do a very good job of the old CAD system of determining what that call volume was. The new system, fell asleep here. The new system, obviously new technology, is fantastic. So it does everything. It knows every call for service, every report that's written, et cetera, et cetera. Don't mind me. So the result of which was we now have a better handle on what everyone should be paying. So as we looked at the numbers, our increase, we saw an increase because we just have more calls for service. We have a lot of traffic calls. We have a lot of premise checks in town at night that some of our other neighbors don't do. So some of those things weren't being recorded into the total call volume number that budget decision is made off of.
So is that increase, what percentage of increase would you say that's been over the last year? Well, adjusted for not coming, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, I'd have to look, what do we pay, about 13, 14%, somewhere in there? 12, is it 12? 12.04, so it had been down maybe to about, at one time it had been high as 15 or 16, Park Ridge came on board, it came back down, and then it also started to increase back up, so I can get you those exact numbers, but in terms of the overall budget of the 911 center, we pay somewhere between 10 to 15%.
And as Eric said, I think in the past, because of how those calls were being recorded, some of them were being lumped together, so it would only reflect one call as opposed to actual each individual
right.
call for service, which is really the basis for what the charges are
right.
are being based on. So that's why we're seeing that increase, because there's a more accurate recording of that. So every call for service that gets recorded now.
So I wonder, is that a 2% increase? Because
well, it's kind of hard to tell because the way that they were blocked, I mean, the way yeah. that they were grouped together, I would imagine would be hard to break out.
Yeah, premise checks is a good example right. of that, right? So when our officers at night, part of their overnight shift, will go ahead, check the doors of businesses, schools, things like that, and they'll punch a ticket when they go there. Part of that is a check-in then from an officer safety perspective, right? So if they're in the back of Roosevelt School making sure the doors are locked and something happens, then the dispatchers know where they are, right? So typically we would have punched all those on one ticket.
Right.
And so when you do 10, if you do 10 premise checks a day, every day, again. You know, then it starts.
Well,
down.
I'd be curious.
Yeah, sure.
Don't have to answer it, but I'd be curious as to as the percentage increase once we've debundled it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Are we just asking questions on general fund information?
Sure.
Or do you want to go?
Well, we can keep going. We're going to talk about some of the department budgets. Yeah, we can go, and then we can circle back if you want, whatever your pleasure is. So we'll just walk through here, and this again is all in the budget document. So this is some high level stuff for each department, and we'll spend our time focusing on the upcoming year. So I'm not going to read everything for you, but for the administration department, you can see again we're going to continue to implement all of our communication related items. I know John is working on the website redesign. Our Facebook page is due for a soft launch here in the next day or so. So that's very exciting. So we're continuing to work on all those items.
Awesome.
We're working with the HPC in terms of some more or less marketing material of historic properties in town. So they're working along those lines. One of the things that we've also pursued, and this ties into some of the goals that you all talked about, was a grant for a master plan for bicycles. And so we actually had applied for a grant back in 2010, 2011, received it from Cook County, and then it was really tied more into like a healthy eating thing. So we gave that money. It's the first grant I've ever given back, but I had no regrets about that. So we gave that money back, and now the county has created its own master plan for transportation initiatives. And so as part of that, they've allocated somewhere in the vicinity of $6 to $8 million for planning purposes, construction purposes, things that advance their plans. And so we think a bicycle plan for River Forest, which I think is needed, would fit into that. So we've applied for that, and we'll see where that goes. But we have budgeted some money for a 20% share of a consulting project should that we be successful in that grant.
How much is the grant that you
need? 50 total.
50,000.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, it's 10. So 10, well, no, 20, that's right. So 10%, hang on a second, 10. Five, no, 10, it was 40, 10. 40,000, 10,000, so our share would be 10,000.
don't forget about Gagliardo, too. He's willing to work with us on new resident information, remember?
Yes, yeah, we had a meeting not too long ago with the folks at Gagliardo Real Estate, and they were looking for, again, this ties into some of our communication stuff as well, for new residents, marketing, you know, nothing elaborate. I'm talking like a one or two page trifold of something along those lines. That's something we're going to try to get knocked out this fiscal year.
Okay.
Police department, again, really focusing on communication and looking at public safety in terms of trying to identify more crime patterns, crime avoidance tips, crime mapping, things of that nature. One of these days we're going to get back to you with our GIS system and our community portal that we've been working on. We're getting there slowly but surely, but it's something that not only engineering public works can use, but also our police department as well. On the fire side, again, a lot of public safety awareness through public education programs, and some of that also goes to not only where most people think are younger residents, but also our adults and well-tenured residents. Obviously, the fire from about a week ago is another reminder of the fire department's kind of call to make sure that people are aware of smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, things of that nature. And then we'll also wrap up the purchase of our new fire engine. That should be coming mid-year-ish. And then also, as you know, we have our lieutenants are newer into the position, and so we're going to continue efforts for new officer development training. Public Works, one of the things we're starting to really work diligently on as it relates to the GIS system is an inventory of all of our trees in town. And so we do have paper inventories and databases, but now we're going to tie that into our GIS system. So over time, and we're working with some third parties to help us with that, we'll be able to go to a map and know the condition, the age, the species of every tree and have it mapped everywhere, every tree mapped in the community on public property. And then also as part of that also becomes a condition assessment. And so one of the things we did this year is when we bid out our tree trimming, we actually had someone come in, map it, put the condition, what needed to be trimmed, what kind of shape it was in, and then we use that as essentially as our bid spec, right, for the vendors to come in, the contractors to go ahead and give us a bid, their bid for the work. And then we'll also, one of the things we're also going to work on is communication. We have all our new communication tools, so we'll continue to use the website and our e-news and Blackboard Connect on Public Works related items. And then we've also got the River Oaks Auvergne water service project. Although we were just talking today, our friends at the state continue to drag their heels in approving their permits. Mm-hmm. So if we don't hear back from the IEPA and IDOT soon, we may have to kick that project out to next year because we don't want to bid the project middle of construction season because the cost is going to get shot up pretty high. So we're starting to bid out all our projects, and so we need IEPA approval and then IDOT approval, and we're still waiting on those. So I've reached out to some folks at our state legislator's office and at the governor's office, and we'll see if we get anywhere.
Can we still bid it and not accept the bids?
That might be a possibility. The IDOT permit's more for traffic control, so that I'm not even as concerned about, but the IEPA needs to sign off on any public water project that we do. The challenge we also have is that the IEPA could come back and have comments. So there's a chance they could come back and say, they're supposed to take 40 days, and we're like 7-8 weeks in right now, and they said they haven't even assigned it a number yet. So, and if they review it in, let's say, a month, and they come back and say, we got to change this, this, and this, then we may have to resubmit. Yeah.
Can I ask a question on GIS with Public Works? I was just perusing some other villages' websites, and hopefully once we get this off the ground, they actually have a tab where you can click on projects that are going on throughout town, and the GIS system will then just bring up a map and show all of the projects so that residents are aware of, you know, where traffic patterns might be or what projects are going on. It was kind of a neat tool.
Yep.
So hopefully at some point we can use that interactive GIS on the website to just get out some more information about
projects. Oh, absolutely. And if you have that town that you looked at.
Glen Ellen.
Glen Ellen, okay.
It is coming soon. It's called Story Mapping.
Yeah.
And we have a prototype all set up, but we're just waiting to roll it out with the new website.
Okay. Yeah. It was cool. So go on their website and you could just click on it, and it's got the nice color.
Glen Allen is actually one of the leaders in the GIS world.
Yeah.
In fact, when we got our award for the NSMP, they actually got an award for some of their GIS work.
Yeah.
So they are something that we certainly strive to be like. The other thing that we've learned about at conferences is that some of these bigger organizations, companies like Google and Waze that use rideshare and Uber,
right,
they start to then pull that information out, and then they can use it, right, to go ahead and, you know, adjust their maps and let their riders know what's going on. In some cases, there have been some partnerships where those organizations then share their traffic data with the municipality, because that's always helpful to us if we know how many cars are going down the street for an average daily traffic use. IDOT also maintains that information, but they're not always the most up to date.
Thank you.
All right. So So exciting stuff. And yeah, we do plan on rolling some of that out when we get our new website. Here's an update on the Water and Sewer Fund. As you can see, Water and Sewer Fund operating revenues are expected to exceed operational operating expenses in 2018. Again, the total expenses are higher because they include the capital items. We also, as you can see on there, we've done this every year, we list what the cash position is and then also what the net position looks like, and then pull out depreciation so you can see on a cash basis what the budget looks like. So again, we had budgeted a deficit this year. We came out ahead about $218,000. We have another budget deficit at least booked for next year, but depending on how the weather plays out and our ability to handle our expenditures, we'll work to get that number down. The other thing to keep in mind too that we'll talk about in future fiscal years is that we have that one bond in the water fund that'll be coming due here in the next couple years, and so pretty soon, with the exception of the NSMP, we'll actually be, as a village, be debt free. So that certainly is a good thing and a good position to be in. Looking at water and sewer rates for next year, you can see we're looking at a 5% rate increase on the water side, a 4% rate or increase on the sewer side. Rolled in together, you're at about 4.7%. We will also be carrying through the City of Chicago's water increase. So this is the first, if you recall, we had those killer water increases over the 3 years. Then they gave us a reprieve for the 1 year. They have indicated that June 1st, they're going to increase their water rate by 1.83%, which is certainly a lot more manageable than the 25, 15, and 15s we were getting. So that rate increase reflects a six cent per unit charge. And so what we will do this year, typically we had increased the rates on 5-1. We're going to wait to 6-1 because that's when the Chicago increase is now going to take effect. They had previously been January 1. Now they moved to June 1. So instead of giving residents an increase on May 1 and another increase on June 1, we'll just make the increases June 1st.
Those are just cost of living adjustments that they're just passing through, or is there...
More or less, yeah. I mean, there's just a general, you know, it's an enterprise fund, and there's a general increase to the operational costs for their center. So we don't have an issue with that per se. It was those killer increases previous where it was like a 25% increase because there was some concern that they were taking money then out of the water and sewer fund to pay for
infrastructure.
This number is based on the CPI. Okay, I'm wondering what that is.
And Chicago has never shared their... the reasons for those increases or where that money goes. It's like a tightly kept secret, right? Even when they, West Central, tried to get information on what they were using those big percentage increases for, we were never able to get exactly what they do with that money. So it's unfortunate.
So, John, you're saying if we take out the increases from the city of 1.83, the net change would be the CPI for us?
No, I'm saying the 1.83.
Is there CPI?
Is there CPI?
But ours is larger, slightly larger than CPI.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
Yes.
I mean, what is causing us to be larger than City of Chicago?
Just the operational cost of running the water and sewer fund. You know, part of the challenge, too, is we make estimates on what people are going to use each year. And each year, people continue to use less and less water, both on the irrigation side, both on their normal operational side. And so each year then we sit down and, as you can see, we use less, which is great. Then we spend less and we bill less. So in order to try to come close to breaking even, we look at it, we've studied it. We brought in our folks from Baxter and Woodman to take a look at that. And so the recommendation isn't certainly throwing a dart at a dartboard by any means. But going ahead and using that information to make a determination, okay, what do we need to make sure we can keep the fund in a solid position? And you can see even with that increase, we're still projecting a deficit for next year.
Hmm. I don't know. It might be something we might want to keep our eye on in terms of the board. As instead of chasing the costs, how can we look at the costs and tail it back a little bit.
Well, but our rate, don't forget, includes the sewer project, and then
correct.
The and then the water rate study that we have that actually goes out through 2017, I believe, which includes a portion of that water rate. It's not just for water, but also for capital infrastructure. So that's all kind of combined
so,
into
yeah,
that
so
right.
The capital
number.
Costs are higher, too, than when we did the 2012 study. We were like the sewer
right.
lining amount
right.
that we have in budget right. has been doubled, and
yep.
the water main replacement allocation is much higher.
Higher than we thought.
So
yeah.
that's part of the reason why, too.
And part of that water study also does comparisons to other municipalities, but it's kind of hard to do apples to apples because we have so many different components of that water
it's
rate.
It's just
so.
Something we ought to, in the next 3 to 5 years, keep, you know, because you're going to constantly catch that cost, you know, chase that cost, that capital cost, and if water usage is going to continue to go down, which might happen, you know, how do you make sure that you're not, you know, just so expensive you can't afford it.
Right, and like and that's what I mentioned earlier. You know, one of the other benefits is we're going to have that bond rolling off in a couple of years,
right.
so that's about a couple hundred thousand.
Right.
Now you could keep it in. And I mean, there's we just talked today. There's a million things you could do.
Right.
You could.
I mean, we don't have to answer it now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as a board, we
mm-hmm.
should keep our eye on this. You know, a little bit. In, you know, year to year, 3 year. How do you manage the you know this whole fund? Okay.
In terms of the overall fund, again, the highlights, and again, we talked about this during the CIP discussion. We've got the water main replacement that we just talked about on River Oaks and Auvergne. Yeah, that's about $450,000. We have been aggressive and will continue to do so as it relates to sewer relining and point repairs. And then we're also making one of the other cost areas for the water and sewer fund is the pump station. And so you recall the door. We have to not only maintain all the valves and the pumps and everything within the station, we have to maintain the actual building as well. And so we've talked about the door, we've talked about windows, we've talked about painting, the roof, all those other things related to the internal infrastructure. We'll continue to fund those as well. And that's close all in. That's about $100,000 for next year. Water and sewer rate projections. This is always a good sheet just to kind of keep handy so you can see where things have gone into the past and where they go out into the future based on other projections that we have. So you can see for 6/1/17 there in the middle, you've got the sewer rate at 430, and then you've got the with the Chicago increase, you're up to about 645, so you're about 1075 total for 2017, and that's effective 6/1. Mm-hmm. Talked about this a little bit already, so I won't beat a dead horse. These are the three-year projections, and you can see, and I guess to your point, Kathy, as we start to look out and we start to see some of those other expenses starting to come off. From a cash position, we're in a good shape with
right.
the water and sewer fund. I don't, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, we're not.
And going out, we're looking better when that debt falls off.
When
right.
Yeah.
We'll be able to, you know, reduce our
expense.
Increase or freeze the rate maybe for some time or you decide. What
might
we
be nice.
Do,
yep.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I mean, as
yeah.
we start seeing this more, a little bit more relief, let's think, let's talk through it.
Pension funds, again, we've talked a little bit about this at the outset, having our funding policies in place and having that five-year transition plan. So going back 5 years, I mean, we're, as I said, we've almost nearly doubled our contribution. I think we're close to about 80-90% increases over those 5 years. But it obviously is the right thing to do to make sure that those pensions are available for our police and firefighters when they need them. And so the hope, again, is next year that we start to plateau, and we're looking at more of a 2.8% increase. So while this is we've been talking about this and the right thing to do, the revenues have not kept up with our pension contributions. So really, it's no secret. It's starting to put pressure on the general fund in terms of some of the creative things we've had to do to ensure that we can still balance our budget. So we've still done it. Not saying it's been easy, but hopefully in the next couple years we'll start to have a little bit more wiggle room to even take on some other projects and other initiatives for the village, because we won't be hopefully contributing as much to the pension fund.
it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely. MFT, this, we start to get into some of our ancillary funds. This is our motor fuel tax fund. We have money in the budget this year for resurfacing of various streets, and then about $75,000 for the Chicago Avenue resurfacing design work. So recall we did division about a year or two ago using some federal funds. We'll continue to look for those funds again for the Chicago Avenue resurfacing. We're on the list for that. So the idea would be to design this project in this coming fiscal year, so fiscal year 18, and then construct it in fiscal year 19.
Just real quick, I know we've had some questions from constituents about just a overall, when we talk about resurfacing, you know, our sidewalk plan and just making those ADA accessible. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come up with a internal policy on that with respect to the engineering, or how are we working on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we've started to make a plan for okay. that, and what we do is for any streets that have been resurfaced, we bring up all the intersections to the ADA standards. So right now, we're going to look at all the sidewalks beyond that on our regular curb and sidewalk inspection every year and make sure that those are also up to standard.
Okay. Right. Okay. I mean, I know we're light years ahead of where we were before. It just, it's a slower process than I think some people would like to see, but we are getting there. So I just, mm-hmm. I'm glad to see we're.
Yeah. And the other benefit too is when you do those large process. STP projects like right. Division Street, we can do all the sidewalk work. Yep.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Looks good.
Yep. Somewhat unrelated to this though, one little thing I'll throw out there, I don't know why this popped into my mind. We are going to continue this year to do that pavement preservation product that smells funny. Remember last year? So, but it's
lemon pledge.
It's organic. So the other thing to keep in mind is you sent me that email about the tars and all these things that people are unhappy about putting. So there's a new push to eliminate on some other towns tar sealants and other things that are bad for the street as protective measures. So we don't use those currently, but we are using these pavement preservation products. And Jeff Loster says you could drink it if you wanted to, but I don't know. I wouldn't take him that far on that, but that is one of the benefits.
Well, we'll start with him.
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
I think he already
has. Right. Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like soybean oil-based for the most part. So
yeah.
It's healthy.
Could we just send out a little notice that when that happens, like
right.
the spraying,
just to let people
just
know
to say,
that it stinks.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
Right.
Keep your window.
So unrelated to anything else, but I want to throw that in there. All right. SURF Fund, again, we talked about this during the our January meeting. We have just under $600,000 budgeted for our SURF our SURF contributions for vehicle and equipment purchases. Our SURF is and continues to be fully funded. If you do break it out, though, we're a little bit overfunded on the general fund side and a little underfunded on the water and sewer side. We didn't have a SURF fund for water and sewer until about 3 or 4 years ago. So we're playing a little catch-up, and that's okay. But in terms of all of the equipment, vehicles, equipment that the village owns, we are funded to, if we wanted to, pay for all those right here now. So we're very fortunate to be in that position. And again, here are some of those highlights. Again, we went through these previously, the police cars, the second half of the payment on the fire truck. Will actually be coming to you probably right after the beginning of the fiscal year. We bought a dump truck last year, this current fiscal year. They're going to hold the price on that for us. So we'll probably come back to you and purchase, get our new vehicle purchased right away. And then some of the other equipment, including the street camera expansion as well. Capital Improvement Fund. This is essentially the repository for funds that we receive from our automated traffic enforcement system, as the papers commonly referred to as red light cameras. So that's where these dollars are deposited, and we use these for non-reoccurring expenditures. The other big thing that's been great here, just I would say within the last couple months, we have not budgeted for any of the revenue that we expected for some of these grants. So the iGig grant and then some of these LED grants, because state of Illinois, right? So that money has now started coming in. So we received the 419 for the iGig grant, And then Mark Giannopoulos has been fantastic at bird dogging that money from the DCEO. And so instead of going through Metro Mayors, he now goes right to the state, and that has cut down the waiting time for whatever reason. So we got another check today. So we budgeted 90,000 for revenue this year. It's actually going to be closer to 214. So we'll have another 600 some odd thousand dollars in the capital improvement fund.
Yeah.
633,249, if anyone's keeping score at home. Here's the highlights of some of those SIF projects we've talked about. Improvements here at Village Hall, the garage. Again, don't forget those Village Hall improvements. We'll be coming back to you with those. Many of these will come back to you because they have to be bid out. But in terms of what direction we go in, we'll come back to you for some direction before we make any determinations. IT improvements, alley improvements, some of our lighting, and then also we're going to be purchasing some trees out of the SIF this year as well, in part with some of that money from Concordia. Economic development, really no significant news here or surprises. We do have that money depending on the last remaining property and when that's acquired. That may be done this fiscal year, next fiscal year. Sooner is obviously always better, but that money is still budgeted. If you recall, we had that incentive agreement with Town Center for what was Tilly's is now Rally House, and Alta. The one from Alta has concluded. They've met their total amount, and so they've probably got about a year or so left with Rally House, and so there's some dollars remaining for that. And then we also have money that we're putting back into the Madison Street TIF fund. We anticipate later this year working on some strategy development for redevelopment in that area, so we'll need some consultant help with that. And then also we also have money budgeted for the North Avenue TIF as well for this year, which that work has already commenced. So looking out into the general fund, and we talked about this earlier about the strategic use of reserves, you can see this year, next year, or excuse me, this current year and this upcoming year, our budgets are balanced. We're obviously very proud of that, showing some deficits in upcoming years, but again, that is not uncommon based on how we budget, being very conservative, and as you know, we've worked very diligently to reduce those. And again, even using, let's say we dipped into our fund balance to pay for those deficits, you're still hovering around the 40% unrestricted amount for your general fund reserve, which is fantastic. So having 40% general fund unrestricted fund balance, you've got a SERF fund that's fully funded, you have separate funds for risk management and health insurance, and you have a SIF fund with about $1.5 million sitting over there. You know, financially, we continue to be in very good shape. This is our standard slide about the future years and salary and health insurance increases, contractual services, things of that nature. And then I don't think we've adjusted this slide probably in about 3 or 4 years in terms of what other options you could have in the event you had to make some increases to revenue, whether it's vehicle stickers, places of eating tax, passing along leaf collection to residents. But again, those are things we hope not to bring up to you because we've been able to do a good job so far. And of course, the bullet point at the bottom about economic development initiatives. Again, that's why we continue to work diligently in those areas. That's why economic development is always a big deal, because that's the real way you can add value to your community, not just for the village, but for everybody. Finally, it takes a team to build a bridge. And so, I get the pleasure to come up here and talk to you, although this is one of the first years I've done that, because two years in a row I had family issues, and then Joan and Lisa took it again last year, so we've traded off this year. But my thanks to Joan and Lisa, who do a majority of our budget work and lead the team in all those efforts. So their hard work, along with Cheryl, our assistant finance director, and then our department heads as well, Greg, John, and Jim, do a fantastic job for us. So I'm the guy who gets to get up here and tell you about all these great things, but these are the people that really put it all together. So thank you to them.
Yeah. Go team.
Can I ask a question about the $68,000? Because that was one of my, for the leaf removal. Is that mostly, is there anything we can do to reduce that cost or any other?
That's mostly the tipping fee, right?
The tipping fee or the?
And we don't factor in the cost of the guys doing the work.
Right.
So that's the cost to take the leaves to the dump yard, pay for their removal.
Is there any other greener option?
Well, the real green option is you don't put them to the curb. You keep them on your grass, and you put them in, you mulch them. And what's that?
Your flower beds.
Yeah, and the flower beds and things. Absolutely. That's really the green thing to do.
Or you just burn them.
Yeah, against the law. Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
But the smell.
So I don't know if that's something. I don't know. It's those dumping fees have increased considerably, I guess, since we started doing this project. I know we don't have any real authority over the library budget, but it's included in our budget. I just wanted to note that for some reason, you know, they kind of fall outside of the tax cap. Their budget went up 16%. I'm not really sure why, and I just went online. Actually, I'm glad that they finally put all their financial information online, so I was able to look at their audit. And, you know, they have quite a considerable fund balance there as well.
Yeah, they're spending some reserves on capital items. That's why it is higher, so much higher.
But are they, so they're taking that out of their reserves? Okay.
Reserves.
I know it was like $200,000 or something.
Yeah, they get the same.
So they're on the same cap.
Right.
Okay, so that is attributed to they're going to be spending down some of their money. Okay.
If you look at the detail.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell. Okay, so they're not, it's not a taxing issue. Okay. Okay. Thank you. And then I had couple other questions here real quick. We talked about GIS. I think that was it. Tilly's was one of my questions. You said one more year on that.
Estimated, okay. Yeah. It'll take, like I said, Alta concluded in December. They've reached, Alta is a very good sales tax producer for the village. That's a good get. Tilly's was not so much. Rally houses seem to exceed what Tilly's was doing, and what we can tell.
They ever going to fill that space?
That was it.
Oh, the one over.
Yeah, there's still in the one
corner.
Open.
No news.
I don't have any news on that. We're working with them on, I think I mentioned before, moving the sign out. So
right.
But it's too bad. There's a kitchen in there.
Yeah. Speaking of sign, is Panera supposed to go in the blank space? That's on the sign, the monument sign on the corner?
I can find out.
There's like one space open. I didn't know if they were changing their logo from when they remodeled. Okay. It's the one on Lake Street.
I think they're doing okay.
They're doing great.
What, Panera?
Panera, like, packed everything.
Yeah, they did a great job. I have to say, it's beautiful, and we thank them for reinvesting in our community and updating their facility. It's really nice.
Whole Foods will be, I believe they're in for permit for a reset as well. So later this year, Whole Foods will be, which again, great, you know,
yeah.
Thank you. So we're working with those guys as well.
They're not going to close, are they?
No, they're
not. I don't think so. Yeah, Panera was closed for like a week or so. It was easier for them just to shut down and then reset. So Whole Foods is doing that as well.
What's the timeline on the market on their family?
August.
Still August.
Yeah, they said August.
Latest, hopefully.
Yeah, they're moving along pretty well. I mean, they're clipping, so fingers crossed it's sooner. So I'm always very cautious about setting expectations on that, because as soon as I say something else and it doesn't happen, I'll get yelled at.
I think I saw that they're accepting applications for employment.
Yeah. Yep.
Where'd you see that?
Just like the paper.
On the fence?
I gave it to my kid.
That's right.
I'm a big incredible rat.
So August 1st is still the party line, but we're hoping it's sooner.
August 1st-ish.
Fish.
So it's not early.
Oh, I do have one more question.
It's not early, just hope it's later.
On the ALS, BLS fees, we're monitoring those just to, for the ambulance fees?
Advanced life support, basic life support.
I just took a look at those.
Okay.
And with the exception of two, BLS and other, we did an increase back in 2012, and we took into account like 10%.
Okay.
So we're right there, so.
Not this year.
I'll make a proposal, we'll make a proposal to Eric and, you know, see where you want to go.
Okay.
It's real close.
I think that's all I had.
Any other questions for Eric or his great team?
Thank you.
Yeah, so it was great and very succinct, yet detailed. So thank you for all of that. We very much appreciate it. I know it takes a lot of effort because there's a lot of ins and outs on something like this. So thanks a lot. Hearing no further comments or questions from our board, I don't think we have anything else in executive session.
Nope.
So then I will ask someone to give me a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, very good. Ask the clerk to...
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passed.
Okay.